Peter Welch, Congressman, friend, let me ask you this. The final straw, I guess, was given the other day by FBI Director Comey, who announced that he didn't like the way that Secretary Clinton had played fast and loose with her email, if I may paraphrase, but there was nothing indictable there. What do you make of that whole phenomenon?
Well, it's obviously a huge relief to the Clinton campaign and allows them to put that issue behind them. And number two, with Comey as the person who came to that conclusion, you have the person in Washington who probably has the highest reputation for integrity. He's worked in Republican and Democratic administrations. He stood up to a president when John Ashcroft was extraordinarily sick in the hospital and didn't do an end run around him. So you have, I think the American people can have enormous confidence that his conclusion that there was no criminal conduct is legitimate. So that's tremendous. Now, there's a political implication here that Hillary Clinton is going to have to continue to deal with in the campaign. She acknowledged that she made a mistake. And what Comey laid out were a lot of the mistakes that she made for which she acknowledged some responsibility. And that's going to be just a campaign. It'll continue to be a campaign issue between her and Donald Trump.
Could it cost her the election?
I certainly hope not. I mean, that'll be, you know, this election, first of all, Comey made the definitive finding that there was no criminal conduct. There was negligence, and Hillary's acknowledged that she made a mistake. But this campaign, I think, ultimately is going to be about who the American people have confidence in to turn our economy around and to boost jobs and wages. That's what's really tough. And the forces that are, you know, working on that, you know, President Obama's done really well, but all of the forces of globalization coming off the heels of the banking crisis that we had in 08, and that seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. The uncertainty in the world with Brexit and what that's doing now to volatility in the stock market and the economy, all of those things, I think, require kind of a thoughtful policy. And I think in the end, people are going to make a judgment about who they have confidence is going to steer the ship to provide some security on the economy.
So I want to change subjects for a moment, if I may, and go to your role as a superdelegate. Now, Bernie Sanders really feels that the superdelegates should not have declared that they were for Hillary beforehand. You've declared, you're, of course, from Vermont, a friend of Bernie Sanders, that you're going to back Sanders. There is some discussion as to whether we ought to have a system of superdelegates. We know in the McGovern campaign, a lot of senior people in the Democratic Party were excluded because they had not run for a delegate position, and the fix was to create this class of superdelegates, which seems all right to me, I'll be honest with you. And I'm wondering about you.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you ask that, because Bernie was just in our caucus, and he says he'd like to have some reform, and what he was talking about is some kind of compromise, where he thinks that senators and members of Congress and governors, who obviously are very active in the Democratic Party and have a stake in its future, should have a significant role at the convention. But what he was saying, and I think this is a really valid point, the superdelegates ought to have some deference to a situation where the voters in their state overwhelmingly support a candidate. So, for instance, Bernie mentioned he got hammered in South Carolina. I think Hillary got like 70 or 80% of the vote, whereas in Vermont, Bernie got 86% of the vote. So, you know, I feel as a superdelegate some obligation to the people I represent, because I didn't get elected as a delegate. I got elected to be a member of Congress. And if you've got 85, 86% in Vermont, I really feel that it does make sense for superdelegates to pay some attention to that. Just as I think in South Carolina, where the overwhelming vote was for Hillary Clinton, the superdelegates, in my view, should take that into account. So Bernie was talking about finding some way to compromise those two principles. So I think we can probably work that out.
And you'll work it out by compromising and saying fewer superdelegates and that they sort of have to follow the election returns, or am I reading more into
Well, if it's, I think the two ways to discuss it, one is how many superdelegates do you have?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And you might adjust that probably downward. And then number two, are there some parameters, like on a first ballot, where if the candidate gets over a certain percentage of votes, how does that affect what the superdelegate does? So, those are just two thoughts off the top of the head. But we can be flexible on it, and that's what Bernie was suggesting here.
So tell me, you just got some big good news in Vermont about AmeriCorps. First of all, what is it? And second, for those who aren't familiar with it, I am. And secondly, what does some infusion of cash mean?
You know, AmeriCorps is a fantastic program, and I wish it was bigger and had more people in it. But essentially, I'd say the easiest way to understand it is like a Peace Corps in America. You get young people who are getting out of school, and they've got a strong desire to take responsibility and help rebuild communities. And they get assigned, in Vermont, they're going to be working with environmental organizations, with towns, and they do everything from clean up rivers and streams to building trails that people hike on. It almost reminds me a little bit of a civilian conservation corps. And what I've met a lot of the young people who are in it, and it's almost like an alternative in some cases for military service. They have real responsibility, and that's one of the challenges that a young person has getting out of school. They've got to learn how to accept responsibility and deliver. Second, they work together as a team. They only succeed when they work together, so they learn those skills. Third, they really make a difference doing hard work in these communities where they leave something behind, like a clean river or like trails that young people and older people alike will hike on for generations. So, you know, Vermont just got $2.1 million in AmeriCorps funding, and we're going to have a lot of young people doing a lot of good work that is going to benefit Vermonters for generations. I think it's really exciting. I'd like to see many more young people do it. It's a way of doing community service that's good for the kids, in young adults, and certainly good for the community.
Do you, as a congressman, have to argue for the amount, or does it just get distributed by formula?
No, we have to argue and compete. I mean, it's not so much me arguing for the amount. I was a strong proponent of more funding, but the local communities will put in for grants, and they have applications, and the state of Vermont had several that were just very highly regarded. So we got really an enviable allocation to help Vermont, but I think it reflects how successful the AmeriCorps workers in Vermont have been helping us with our state.
Peter Welch, thanks for your crucial input into understanding what's going on around us. I always love the fact that you come and you tell us what you're thinking, and we very much appreciate it. Thanks, Congressman Peter Welch.
Thank you.